It has been said that the Philippines is the only Christian nation in Asia, but it is not the biblical way of Christianity. The Philippines is a deeply religious country. Most people believe in God and Christ, but the Filipino Christ they believe in is either portrayed as an innocent child, the Santo Niño, or as a dead man on a cross, and not as the living Lord of the Bible. The people are so religious that they are willing to crucify themselves, believing that their sins will be forgiven. There is a great spiritual need. They need someone to tell them the truth. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ before it is eternally too late. Romans 10:14 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" God has burdened our hearts to reach the Filipino people for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
We are the Catalan family, and God called us to be missionary church planters to the country of the Philippines. We are sent out of South Charlotte Baptist Church in Pineville, North Carolina, and serving with the assistance of Baptist International Missions Incorporated. We will be going to Metro Manila, the capital city of the Philippines, with a land area of 239 square miles, it has a population of 22 million, making it the third largest urban area in the world. Our main goals are soul winning, discipleship, church planting, and training the nationals to do the same. We will also use any ministry opportunities to reach out to the people, such as music, sports, medical missions, and many more. Jesus said in John 4:35, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." The Philippines is an open field. The people are receptive to the gospel. In 2012, God gave us the opportunity to witness and disciple 10 families to Christ. We saw God work and change lives. One of them that we led to the Lord is Nanay Delia. She is a former Muslim since birth. But October of 2012, after a clear presentation of the gospel, she accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. After a couple of months of discipleship, the Lord opened the opportunity for us to lead her whole family to Christ.
Amen.
We are excited and eager to be back in the Philippines. By God's grace, we know the language and the culture of the people already. Once we get to the field, we can immediately start evangelizing. We ask you to please pray for us and also prayerfully consider partnering with us in reaching the Filipino people for Christ.
Thank you.
message that we must proclaim as we go in Jesus' name. God so loved each and every one that he gave his only Son. Whosoever believeth in him.
Whosoever believeth in him,
whosoever believeth in him, hath eternal life, that all may hear God's message from his word, that all may see salvations of the Lord, that all may know God's wondrous love and care. We must all the gospel share, that all may hear. That all may hear.
That all may hear. In our world there is chaos today. God still God, oh hear him say.
If my people who are called by my name shall be humble and turn from their way, then I'll hear and will answer their prayer.
Then I'll hear and will answer their prayer.
Then I'll hear and will answer their prayer. From his word, that all may see salvations of the Lord, that all may know God's wondrous love and care. We must all the gospel share, that all may hear, that all may hear God's message from his word, that all may see salvations of the Lord, that all may know,
that all may know
God's wondrous love and care. We must all the gospel share, that all may hear, that all may hear, that all may see,
that all may
know, that all.
If you have your Bibles with you, please open it in John chapter 15. And also, if you have questions with us about the more about us or the mission field, you can just ask us after the service. If you don't have our prayer card yet, please get one on our table and please pray for us. We also have a candy there. It's a you know, if you want, you can just grab all of it. But that is like it's a Filipino-made candy, but the flavor is American flavor. So, yeah, but that's a common candy there in the Philippines. But, it's a blessing for us to be here. And this morning, I won't keep you long. John chapter 15, verse 12 to 17. And if you're able, may I ask you to please stand up as we read God's word in honor of God's word. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you for who you are. Thank you for this time that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Dear God, I pray that once again may you speak to us, give us understanding, dear God. I pray, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, that may he move in the midst of us. And Lord, use me as your servant. Give me power, liberty, and clarity as I preach your word. Most especially, I pray that may you be the one that will be glorified, be honored, be praised in everything we do today. We give this time to you. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage that we just read is part of the Upper Room Discourse chapters. John chapter 13 to 17, those are the Upper Room Discourse chapters. Chapter 13 was where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Chapter 14 to 16, that was where Jesus taught the disciples. And Judas left already before Jesus started teaching them. Chapter 17 is what we know, the highly priestly prayer of Jesus. If you read that chapter, it's a very beautiful chapter. Just a quick outline there. In verse 5 of chapter 17, Jesus prayed for himself. In verse 11, Jesus prayed for the disciples. And on verse 20, Jesus prayed for the future believers. And this is where we are. I think it's a beautiful thought that while we were not yet been born here in this world, Jesus prayed for us already. Now, in the middle part of the Upper Room Discourse chapter is the passage that we just read in verse 12 to 17 of chapter 15. And on this passage, there's a word that was mentioned three times. That word is friends in verse 13, verse 14, and verse 15. Now, by God's grace, I just would like to share to you two things about this passage and how we can use it for missions. Now, think with me, or imagine with me, here on my right side, we have the lost and dying world. Here on my left side, we have the truth. The truth. We know what the truth is. The truth is the Word of God. We believe that the Word of God is verbally, plenary, or completely inspired by God. Everything in it, every word, every comma, everything are all inspired by God. We also believe that it is our final authority in our life, meaning whatever doctrines, whatever practice in life, actually, whatever decision that we should do, we should always base it in God's word because it is our final authority in our life. That's the truth. There's a lot more. Salvation. Salvation is only by grace through faith to the finished work of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Amen. That whosoever believes on what Jesus did on the cross, repent for their sins, accept him as their Savior, that person is saved. We also believe in eternal security. We have a saying, once saved, always saved. If a person truly accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that person is saved forever. That's the truth. There's a lot more. Now, here we have the world, the lost and dying world. We know that the world needs the truth. We know that the world are destined to go to hell. Now, what would be the way for us to be able to take God's word to the lost and dying world? One of the way is through friendship. That's one of the way. Now, by God's grace, I just would like to share to you two things about this passage and how we can use it in missions. The first thing that we'll see here in verse 13, it said here, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." The first thing is compassion. This verse is compassion. Greater love. And the greatest example of compassion is that a man lay down his life for his friends. And this is what Jesus did for us. I look up for definitions of compassion, and this is what I learned. Compassion is passion in action. That is compassion, passion in action. To simplify that, it is you are understanding or you know the sufferings or needs of others, and you want to do something about it. You want to help. That is passion in action. Another meaning I learned is to remove ordinary boundaries so you can love beyond that you can love. Ordinary boundaries are your pride, your status in life, or anything that will hinder you to love a person more that you can love that person. And if you think about that, that is hard. That is hard. You can include there if that person hates you, or if you, or if that person don't like you, or vice versa. But you know, by the help of the Holy Spirit, we can do it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." When 2012, we have the opportunity to help plant a church. My brother is the pastor, where I'm like the assistant. And within three weeks of soul winning in Dornagin, we mentioned it in our video, we have the opportunity to reach out 10 families, 8 Roman Catholics and 2 Islam. One of the Islam family, not in our video presentation, after they all got saved, they were persecuted by Muslim friends. They accused the man that is something that is not true. And it ended up that the man was put in jail, the father. And they got their only property, a piece of land, in the Philippines, in Manila. Manila, Philippines, the capital city. If you have a piece of land there, it's like, I think you have like a piece of land in a big city here in the U.S., like in a New York City. Because for the price of a land there, for one square meter, I think this is 1 meter, I think. 1 square meter is $800 to $900. That's a lot. But I'm sharing this because how can you love someone that will persecute you like that? It's hard. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can do it. We can do it. In the Bible, God show us examples of compassion. But the greatest example of that is the compassion of Jesus Christ for us. 5 times in the Bible, it said that Jesus was moved with compassion. And one of the verse that mentioned that Jesus was moved with compassion is Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. It said here, I'll read the passage, 9, verse 36, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Now here, the background of this passage is Jesus attracts people. And here, it's like Jesus is standing here, and it's like all the people are in front of him. But when Jesus looked at them, he said, they are scattered. You know why? Because Jesus just did not see what's how they look, but Jesus see what's in their heart, what's in their mind, what's their situation. And Jesus said, they are scattered abroad, they are fainted. You know why they are fainted? Because it's like in the Philippines, the people are, we call them, they are religious, but religiously blinded from the Word of God. Back then, they don't know the gospel yet. All they know is the law, the Sadducees, the Pharisees. All they know was that. And they were overburdened by the law. And, and Jesus said, they're fainted. And when Jesus saw that, he was moved with compassion on them. And his first prayer request is, he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. That's Jesus' prayer request. You know, we will always need more laborers here in your church, here in your town, here in your country, in the USA, in all parts of the world. We will always need more laborers because the harvest will always be plenteous. Harvest is always plenteous. So pray for more laborers. Pray that the Lord will make you a laborer. You know, it would be great if all of us are laboring together with Pastor. Just think of the potential of this church. All of us are laboring together with Pastor here. You know, there will be someone in your circle that they will not know the gospel unless you tell them. There will always be that person in your circle. So pray that the Lord will make you a laborer. So here, we see here that Jesus was moved with compassion and his prayer request is to pray for more laborers. One more verse in this point, Jude 22, a very familiar verse, Jude 22, and of some have compassion, making a difference. I read of this illustration. One day there was an elder man walking along the seashore, and while he was walking there, he saw thousands of starfish that was washed away on the seashore. A little bit far from him, he saw a boy, probably 9 years old, picking up those starfish and throwing them back to the sea. Now, that man, he observed that boy for several minutes. After several minutes, he walked to him and asked him, what are you doing? The boy said, I am helping the starfish. The man said, There are thousands of starfish here. What would be the difference? What the boy did, he picked up another starfish and said to the man, I will make a difference to this one. Throw it back to the sea. You know, we may not be able to reach the whole world. You may not be able to reach your whole town. I may not be able to reach the whole Metro Manila, Philippines. But if each of us will reach out to someone, share the gospel to that person, disciple that person, we make a difference to God. You make a difference to God. You know, once we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, you are a missionary. You're a missionary once you got saved. And one job of a missionary is to share the gospel of Jesus. So I encourage you, I challenge you, reach out to someone, share the gospel to that person, disciple that person. We make a difference to God. We make a difference. And of some have compassion, making a difference. God is looking for compassionate people. That's the first thing that we'll see here. The second thing, in verse 14, it said here, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Second thing is obedience. This is obedience. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, the background of this passage is within 24 hours, Jesus will be crucified, and Judas left here already, and Jesus is saying to his disciples, I am leaving, and I am leaving the work that I have started to you disciples. And it's like he is depending on them that they will continue what he has started. And we know what the disciples did. They obey God. They are dependable. They turned the world upside down. The disciples are not here. We are the ones that's here. Jesus is telling us, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. God has given us a great commandment, and that great commandment is the Great Commission, to preach or to share the gospel and to disciples. Now, question is, can God depend on us? God is depending on us that we will continue what He has started, the Great Commission. A.B. Simpson said, the Christian is not obedient unless he is doing all in his power to send the gospel to the hidden world. Hudson Taylor said, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. You know, I am like one of a product of missions. The one that led my dad to the Lord is an American missionary. His name is Russell Ebersole from Pennsylvania. He went to the Philippines 1960s, and my dad was a teenager back then. He was a Catholic. All of them are Catholics. He met my dad, shared the gospel to him. My dad got saved. And also my uncles, three of my uncles got saved. After several years, God called them all to preach. They all become pastors, all four of them. Now, by God's grace, I have cousins that are pastors, started churches all over the Philippines. My dad started three churches already. And the one that led me to the Lord is my dad. So it's like I'm a product of missions. By God's grace, all of my family are in the ministry. God changed our family heritage because of one man's obedience to God in His calling. And His work there that He did, it doesn't stop yet. It will continue to bear fruits. And only eternity can tell how much of an impact He did there in the Philippines. We will know once we are in heaven. And I believe there will be a lot of Filipinos there in heaven. Now, will you be obedient to God's command to share and to disciple, to share the gospel and to disciple? God is looking for obedient people. Verse 15, it said here, henceforth, meaning after you show compassion to the people, after you obey God, in verse 15 it said here, I call you not servants. And in the middle part of verse 15, but I have called you friends. After you show compassion, after you obey God, Jesus will tell us, you are my friends. And you know what's the blessing on that? If you continue reading verse 15, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Would you like to know God's perfect will in your life? Be compassionate to the people and obey God. Abraham was called the friend of God. You know why? Because he obeyed God. When God called me to preach, I was 16. When God started dealing with my heart about missions, I was 19. But within those years, there's a 2 years gap there. Within those years, I did the obvious thing. I've been praying and seeking what's His specific will, but I do the obvious thing while waiting. Gospel winning, God door knocking, witnessing to people, compassion. And by doing that, you are obedient to God's command, the Great Commission. And then I was 19 that God confirmed me, He's calling in my life to go back to the Philippines. You know, normally, I think it's like people would want to go here and stay. But God gave me the heart and love and desire to my own people to know the gospel of Jesus. So that's when how God confirmed His calling in my life. Would you like to know God's perfect will in your life? Be compassionate to the people and obey God. In verse 16, it said here, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Here, God has chosen us. God has ordained us. God has called us to bear fruits. All we need to do is we need to be obedient. We need to be obedient. I close this message by this thought. When you go to a cemetery, you will see tombstones. On tombstones, you will see two dates, the birthday and the death date. Between those dates, there's the dash. Now, that dash represents that person's life. If that person's lived 30 years, it's only a dash. If that person's lived 50 years, 70 years, 100 years, it's only a dash. Now the question is, after your dash is done, after your life here in this world is done, what will be the impact? What will be the difference that you can live here for God's glory? I'm thankful that when God called me to preach, He lets me know that there are only two things here in this world that will last for all eternity. Those two things are the Word of God and the souls of men. If you focus on those two things, reading God's Word, memorizing it, studying it, gospel winning, God door knocking, witnessing to people, investing in missions, you will have something that you will not lose forever. So I encourage you, I challenge you, focus on the things that will last for all eternity. There's a song that said, "Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." I pray that this message was a blessing to you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us. I pray, Lord, that may you continue to use us, Lord, for your glory. We commit this time to you. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.